Thank you, and good afternoon. I wanted to begin by providing a quick review of the clinical picture of measles. When we think of measles, we think of the classic rash and fever. It also comes along with cough, runny nose, and red watery eyes. These symptoms are common and nonspecific to measles. In other words, just because you have rash and fever does not necessarily mean that you have measles. So keep that in mind as we move forward through these slides. Exactly 1 year ago, Maricopa County, which is home to Phoenix, Arizona, was managing a measles outbreak. The outbreak began in an immigration detention center located in Pinal County, which shares our southeast border. In total, there were 22 detainees and 9 workers that were classified as cases in our outbreak, and some of those individuals did indeed go into the community, so we feared some community exposure. At this time, our Public Health Incident Command Center was activated, and they were receiving a lot of intelligence information and surveillance data from the traditional methods, so mandated disease reporting, laboratory results, and healthcare providers that called into our public health department. As a syndromic surveillance epidemiologist, it was my goal to try to look within our syndromic surveillance data to identify possible or potential measles cases. It was a case-finding initiative. In Maricopa County, at that point, we had 12 emergency departments and inpatient facilities reporting to our syndromic surveillance system. We use NSSP, or the National Syndromic Surveillance Program, BioSense platform, and this tool allows us to perform queries on both the chief complaint text field and the discharge diagnosis field. At the beginning of the outbreak, we used BioSense built-in queries. This is the measles syndrome that was available within BioSense 2.0, and you can see that it's looking for mostly ICD-CM codes and also the keyword measles. Measles is often misspelled, as I'm sure you know from your own work, and so all of those misspellings would be missed with this query. Additionally, it doesn't include any of the symptoms such as fever or rash. So it's very narrow, and it was far too specific for our case-finding purposes. The other option for us was the rash syndrome built into BioSense. But if you look through this carefully, you'll find keywords for chickenpox, herpes, rubella, and many conditions outside the scope of measles. So this was the opposite. It was far too broad for our purposes. So at that point, since neither of those syndromes really fit the bill for our purposes, we started building our own measles outbreak syndrome, which included 5 subsyndromes. We looked for measles-related terms, rash-related terms, fever, prodrome, which was the congestion and runny nose, and then we built a situational subsyndrome query that looked for the detention center or places that were named by cases within the community, so a given name for a grocery store or gas station. This cast a broad net, but the second phase of this procedure was to apply an algorithm. So the algorithm actually triaged our line list and gave priority to some records compared to others. So at the highest level, our triage level 5, it was looking for our situational terms along with somebody mentioning measles. So they were somebody that we really wanted to follow up on, whereas somebody at the bottom of our list might have mentioned rash and fever, but we can imagine diaper rash and many young people that might have these symptoms but not really of concern during the outbreak. So my daily procedure was to use the PHP MyAdmin tool within BioSense to query data, and that would look for all 5 subsyndromes. Using that, we would create a CSV file. That CSV file was then put into a SAS program that we wrote, and the main objectives of that SAS program were to code the records, give it a triage level, and then produce a PDF line list. Here's an example of what the line list looked like in PDF form. I stripped all the identifiable information for this presentation, but you do have a descending triage code at the left of the list. We had some facility and medical record number information in case we did want to go back to the medical record and identify that person. And then it included the chief complaint field. So for an example, at the very top of our list with a triage level of 5, it mentioned somebody that works at the prison where the measles occurred, and they had fever and congestion for 6 days. Obviously somebody that we want to follow up on and be aware of. So as I mentioned, this list was produced every day. I would look for new additions to the list from the previous 24 hours. And I was very conscious that I did not want to burden our already very busy incident command center. So they maintain a list of patients that they were keeping an eye on. And before I alerted them to my syndromic data, I would do a cross-check and make sure that I was only giving them new information. If they had not been previously identified, I would take that line list to our nurse investigator, who would then look within the medical record, which is, we have access to electronic medical record, and they would make the decision whether or not to reach out to the patient or contact the healthcare provider to get some more information. This is a flow chart of our data for our 36 days of enhanced case finding. During that time, there were over 88,000 records that we could potentially be looking through, but applying the query brought that number down to 2,300 patients. Again, far too much for a couple of us to search through. By applying the algorithm and using a threshold of 3 and higher, we brought the list down to 61 patients, which was an average of 2 new people per day. Far more manageable, and we felt that this was very effective. 13 of those individuals had already been within our incident command center, so we were aware of 13, but it brought 48 new people to follow. Great for situational awareness. They did not end up being cases, but they were of concern for us to follow up over the time. So if you are interested in doing this type of surveillance with very vague, common symptoms, I recommend using an algorithm-type method. I think it could be useful not only for measles, but some other conditions. Keep in mind that this is going to be a dynamic situation that's always evolving. We had to build a syndrome within 24 hours, and it wasn't perfect when we started, but as we looked at our line list, we did make some tweaks and improved to eliminate some false positives. Also, the potential exposure sites were always changing, so that was something that was constantly updated in our query. One of the challenges that we faced with our facilities was that there was a lag of at least 24 hours between when a patient was seen at the hospital and when we were able to query those data through BioSense. So by shortening that window and maybe getting it down to 12 hours or less, we might be able to beat the traditional surveillance mechanisms. So we're going to try for that in the future. I'd like to thank my co-authors and the measles investigation team. We do have Caitlin Sykes, who is an applied epi fellow, so we thank CSTE for that opportunity. And I'd like to acknowledge also the work from our State Department and our syndromic team there that I work very closely with. Thank you.